You can't be serious, man. You cannot be serious!
Don't need that.
Very tech savvy.
No, we're tech savvy.
You are. You're like a DJ.
It's so good to see you, Shane.
Hello, Fiona.
Thank you.
Now,
someone who can actually talk some
sense.
Here
we are. This is.
Can you take control of the show, your show?
It's
just getting out of hand.
I'm very impressed with you, Sam.
Okay,
doing all the controls.
Yeah, but he's swearing a lot.
We're on air. We're doing the podcast. So if you want to think I'm not taking control of the show, why don't you introduce what we're about to do?
Well,
and do it succinctly and clearly, and don't stumble.
Give it
your
best.
I found, if I can be a little bit self-indulgent, I've got to thank Fiona for Fiona Byrne, who writes a social column and gossip column in the Sunday paper, for getting me out of my comfort zone. Now, the way she did that by getting me out of my comfort zone is to get tickets to go to see a stage show called Joseph and the Technicolor Dreamcoat.
The amazing.
The amazing. Anyway, I got out of my comfort zone and had a terrific Sunday night at the Athenaeum. It took me
Regent.
Oh, was it? Oh, no, the Athenaeum's...
Right, Don, that's it. I'm turning you off. You are
But I went to the Athenaeum. I went to the Athenaeum Club as a four-year-old to watch a pantomime with the Green Man in. I shit myself. He ran up and down the stage. I was 4 years old. It took me back to... taking me back 70 years, Shane.
Who's the Green... What are you talking
about? He was the frightening man on
the Hulk.
Stage
Don,
in the pantomime.
The Hulk. Just stop.
No?
John, please, mate.
Let's start again. Sam, over to you.
We're starting
again. So you're not telling me you shit your pants.
We've got in today. We've got a man... We've got a man in today who I have worked with. You know Phoebe. Don's worked with him.
Have I...
You've worked with him at Hawthorn. He won a Brownlow medal. He's played in a premiership. He's played over 300 games of AFL football. But he's embarked on a new career, which we found fascinating, because we went along to look at him in his stage production of Joseph in the Amazing Technicolor Dreamcoat. He's a friend of ours, this podcast, and he's a very good man, and his name is Shane Crawford. So welcome to You Cannot Be Serious, Shane. I know Ben Fordham has had a crack at asking you a couple of questions about why you embarked on this thespian career of yours, and I want some more information about it. And Phoebe, you can ask questions, and Don, if you can think of anything at least half sensible to ask, you can do it or I'll turn you off. Now, Shane, I know you told Ben that you just thought it was a good idea. Why did you think it was a good idea to do this? Were you bored or what's happened?
No, it was just, well, I've always loved musicals.
Have you?
Yeah, who doesn't love going along to a good musical?
Me.
I don't.
Know, but if you go to the right one, you have a great time.
What's
and
your favourite?
Well, no, Don, let him ask.
I love Jersey Boys. Which is great. I just love all that singing and the way that they can sort of hit those notes and do what they do. But I love them all. So this was exciting for me, but also very daunting because you have to sing. It's all obviously all in song, and I've never sung before. I've heard Sam sing a lot on the Footy Show, and I know that I thought, oh, you know, there's always a bit of hope for everyone.
Cherry picked. You just didn't go along and knock on the door and say, I want to audition. Did they come to you, whoever it was?
No, the question was asked. Yes.
I know it's a Weber Rice production who wrote the thing. I don't know what it was about. I have no idea what the play was about or the musical.
Andrew Lloyd Webber, yeah, he's done many
Weber
a musical.
And Rice.
Yes.
Wrote
Tim
it.
Rice.
All right, Andrew Lloyd Webber and Tim Rice wrote it. I said Webber and Rice, okay? So I just didn't give them their Christian names. Were you cherry-picked? Who cherry-picked you?
Well, I think I was just sort of... The question was asked whether or not I would consider to do an audition and whether or not I'd be up to it. And
who
that's
asked
something
you?
To, well, it just came obviously through my management, but it was obviously, you know, the production or the company here, but also... obviously, the bosses from the UK and America.
Well, thank
were like
you, Shane. The bosses from America thought we will ask Shane Crawford.
No, but they have no idea about me or about football or anything like that.
But they saw you in kinky boots, didn't they?
No. So how it all started is I was doing postcards, and I'd go and do a lot of the stories on the musicals behind the scenes when they were about to start in Melbourne. And I loved it. And I used to get right into it and go, okay, how good's this? And yeah, that's a lot of fun. So Kinky Boots, I went along to interview some of the cast and, you know, a bit behind the scenes. And they had a conveyor belt with the which the performers would perform on, a bit like a treadmill. They would do a huge dance on. So I was on there in the big in the boots because they said, here, put the boots on for the segment and have a bit of fun with it. No worries. So obviously I got carried away and had fun. And that stuck in the back of obviously someone's mind that, he seems like he'd be up for something a bit different. And then that's how it all eventuated. About 5 or 6 years later, the question was asked. I got scared away when they flew out from America and the UK to come and audition everyone in Sydney and Melbourne. I got nervous and thought, oh, no, I won't. And then they rang a week later and said, would you do an online audition because you didn't come along? And I did. And I just tried to get into the character that they wanted me to play. I sang the song that they wanted. And I thought, I got no idea about how to attack it. I'll just have a real crack. I'll try and get into character. I'll try and be that person that they want me to be. And then they offer me the job.
So Phoebe, if you wish, just jump in any time. But just before he goes any further, obviously, Shane, you're not in the industry. The reason, probably because you had good talent and good presence, is the fact that they thought you might put some bums on some seats because you're a well-known, liked individual here and a huge presence in Melbourne. Is that right? They thought, shit, let's get this man because people know who he is.
No, I'm not silly. I know that, you know, if there's a certain role, there's a reason for that. And there's obviously way more talented people than I that can perform that role and sing. The role was explained to me that, you know, we need you to sing at a certain level, but it requires energy. And we need someone to come on with a bit of energy. We've seen a lot of the stuff. They've looked at a lot of the footage, which I didn't realise, of you and me on the footy show. I thought they obviously would do a bit of research, but they obviously went through the archives and looked at a lot of the stuff that we'd done, and they saw the energy.
I wasn't asked to be Joseph if they'd looked
well,
at the...
Well, I did say, I said he's a wonderful singer.
What, who?
Sam. And I said, maybe he could be the king's father, you know, get him involved somehow.
Grandfather.
So, anyway.
Shane, hasn't happened yet. So the character you're playing is the Pharaoh. And in the second act, you have really an incredibly big scene right at the start of the second act. And it's that is a huge production number. How much work has gone into that? How many months have you been training for that?
A lot in a long time, but I've sort of just... I've just thrown myself into it, and I've loved the process because everyone has obviously been in the industry for a long, long time, and people want to go and conquer the world and do all that. So I've really loved the professionalism of it all. Obviously you go from football where you feel like you're one of the strongest links to now you go into an area that's very foreign to me, but I now know that I'm the weakest link. So, so all you're trying to do is just do my bit when it's required, because everyone's relying on you to you know, focus on your little bit and get it right and bring the energy that's required. So that's all I've been like very much for football days. I've just put the blinkers on and gone to work, and the voice training's probably been the biggest thing, is because I wasn't a singer and I'm not a singer. But once you get into a character...
You're very self-effacing. I thought... I'll tell you if you're no good. I thought you were very good.
Yes, we thought you were
Don's
very
giving
good.
Me a, God, that's the first compliment I've ever...
No, I know, I'll tell you if you were shit house. Yeah, I couldn't follow the story. I thought the lighting was good and the costumes were fantastic.
The lighting was good.
And I thought he was good as well as the
so
other
So did
actors.
I. Couldn't agree
Paulini,
with you more.
Now, I had a bit of trouble.
Tell us a bit more about the voice training, because that's obviously something that you've really leant into.
Yeah, I said, listen,
breathing.
When I did the audition, I said, I don't have any more than what I'm giving you. Like, so I said, that is it. I said, no matter how much training I do, I don't have any notes that you can, if that's what you're looking for. But anyway, I worked with a lady at the Victorian College of the Arts, and then obviously when the UK team came out, the musical director John there, I worked with every day. And it's funny, 2 weeks in, and you'd love this, Sam, 2 weeks in, so we'd done all the rehearsing and I'm getting everything underway. And he said, Shane, can I have a conversation with you? No worries. And he took me into the other room. He said, your singing's gone backwards. And I went, that's not a conversation you want. So, but I explained to him, I said, oh, to be honest, I'm not really focusing that day because I was focusing on the...
The lines
we,
and the...
No, we had an American movement coach, and she... I was just focusing on trying to do everything that she wanted, and I couldn't really care less about the words that were coming out. So I said, oh, I think there's a bit of a reason. But anyway, it was a good one just to... You know, don't ever get ahead of yourself. Don't think you're singing too well. Always stay within your boundaries. And that's the key for me, is not to try and hit notes that I don't have. Because the very first day I had to sing with Paulini and Ewan, who plays Joseph, and we all went in a little room together with a piano with a music director, and we had to sing. I'd never sung with anyone in my life, let alone someone who's won an aria. And I'm thinking, this is the most uncomfortable thing I've ever done in my life. But every day it was like Band-Aids were getting ripped off and I was being challenged, walking out of the doors going, oh, wow, okay. So, and that's why I chose to do it. I wanted to be challenged.
So you were, did you find there was any resentment or pushback from people who do this as a living and their career thespians, if you like, you wandering in, did you notice that? This was a veiled criticism when you were first announced that you were going to do it. We thought, God, could they complain about anything else? What's going on in the world? A bloke out there trying to just kick a bit of butt and do the right thing. Did you notice any pushback, or have you had any pushback directly?
No, that's obviously, you know, I don't read a great deal, so I don't follow it closely, but you do have... whether it be friends or family or just people in conversation bringing it up. So, but I'm not too worried about it. At the end of the day, I understand because it's such a professional industry and musicals. Cutthroat. Musicals in Melbourne are considered, you know, high end. People are really, you know, like you travel around the world and you go to West End over in the UK or you go to Broadway. But then Melbourne is considered, you know, a huge... musical industry here, and everyone takes it extremely professional. So I knew there'd be concerns, especially a footballer in that space, because a lot of footballers apparently can't do other things. So there was always going to be a bit of kickback. But I was deep down, I was just hoping that I was the right person for that role, and I knew that I'd put everything into it and try and do it the best I possibly could.
And the producers said that you were a great success, and it's been a great success. Have they confirmed their decision to have you on there, or are they just wondering, did they make the right choice?
Well,
have you got any feedback?
Even after the first week, I said, it's not too late if you don't think I'm the right person. So I couldn't have given them any more outs. And I was being serious too. I said, if you still think I'm not the right person, there's no need to... But I couldn't be more supportive. The first time I actually sang with the adult cast, so all the dancers and singers and the ensemble, was probably a couple of weeks in. So I was rehearsing a lot of the times by myself with the other coaches, and then they brought me in and got me to perform with everyone. And I virtually did that, got to the end of the song, and then everyone started clapping and cheering. And I'm like, oh... wow, I feel very much a part of it. So I felt fantastic. Very supported, very loved, and I really appreciate that. And yeah, it's been an awesome ride. Even though every now and then there's someone out there who's I just don't know how you could go to that musical and walk out of there thinking and not be feeling good or feeling, you know, have the endorphins flying around and just. It brings a bit of light, a bit of colour, a bit of fun to people's lives. I just don't know how you can walk out of there going, oh, I didn't like that too much. Because well, there's something
easy.
For everyone.
It's such a fabulous musical. It's a great big burst of colour and energy and fun.
And if anyone is going to love the costumes, Don Scott, because I tell you what, some of the stuff he used to wear down to the change rooms after games, any rainbow outfits. Yeah. Don's got, I probably had a
Joseph's
notepad
code,
there.
Actually.
Yeah, exactly.
They borrowed the dream coat from Don's wardrobe.
Shane, during the show, you know, Don had grumbled a little bit before we went into the show, and when we're sitting down, I'm hearing this voice beside me and I'm thinking, oh, what's going on here? Don is sitting there singing his way through the show. It turned
you knew
out
the
he
songs?
Didn't.
Well, there was one I know.
Yeah, that's Clash of Drums, the brand of light. What was that song? The Clash of Drums,
what's
the Clash
that?
Of Light.
He was,
he's singing it.
He's singing it.
Yeah, listen, stupid man.
So you know the songs from the musical,
no.
As a young kid when you shat your pants as a four-year-old.
Yeah, I was at the Green Man, the pantomime. I also saw Butch Cassidy and the Sundance Kid there as well.
Did you?
Fucking
hell. We got our award at that theatre for, what is it called, Legends of, what are the...
Hall of Fame. So I'm
sitting... That
so
used to be with
so we walk in, I couldn't see your face, we were that far back. I recognised you sort of because I knew what you looked like. Don said you're on steroids. I said no, he's fattened up, thickened up a little.
Oh, actually, do you know what? I need to bring that up. Actually.
Well, just before you bring it up.
No, I need to bring that up. It should have been the first thing I brought up. Because
got a solicitor's letter.
I spoke to a solicitor about this. I said, listen, this podcast... I said, it's my favourite podcast. I tell everyone to listen and... Everyone that listens, they love it. I'm your biggest supporter. And then I said, listen, I've got a situation. You know, Don, you know, I'm a bit worried about him because he keeps going on about me being on steroids, which is definitely not the case. However, I don't want his money. I don't want to sue him. But if it continues...
You want an apology?
I'll have an apology. But if no, I'll tell you right now, if it continues... Yeah. I will sue you, and I don't want your money. I don't want your house or your land, even though I'm sure it's good land down there. I want your horse and your horse bits.
You're not getting any of them.
No, I'm serious. I'll take your horse and your horse bits. I don't want your money.
You found the perfect way to shut him up, Shane, threatening his horses.
I don't.
I watched you with admiration on Saturday, Sunday night, the six-pack. The six-pack, the lower one of those six-packs is hanging over the tunic, Shane.
Yeah, well,
what can we do?
A couple of months before, it was really hanging over, so don't worry. It's slowly disappearing.
So I'll tell you how... So we go along to the theatre and we're sitting up and my nose was bleeding, we're that far back. And so Phoebe said, we've got great seats. I said, they're great seats. They're upholstered and they're clean and they've been steam cleaned, but we're fucking that far back.
You didn't bring your glasses.
But they reckon up there's the best
the show,
spot because you see the whole stage.
Off stage at the end of the show, beside the sound was getting to us. And so anyhow, so we go in and we sit down and I'm sitting there, Don's next to me and Phoebe's on the left-hand side of Don. So you came out in the second act and you had sung three words. You said... I want to say, and Don said, shit, he's a good singer. I said, Jesus, Don, I said, let him get a fucking sentence out, will you? Anyhow, we thought you were fantastic.
Yeah, I do.
I have no idea what the show is about. They must
is
have
this
been
a hidden camera show? I reckon you've got
Weber and Rice
somewhere.
Must have been on acid when they wrote it. I have no idea what it was about, but we agreed. The orchestra, the lighting, the production. Costumes, the other actors.
And the cast are amazing. They stay on stage the whole time.
The cast were fantastic. And you were too, Shane.
And do you know what? They were very, like, I told some of them before the show, and this is true, and I know a lot of them, you know, aren't really into sports, you know.
We met a bloke and his husband.
Yes, that was Ewan. Yep, who's a superstar.
Yeah, no.
But
he was Joseph.
How did Alex go? Non-binary people was fantastic. They're all one.
But everyone was so excited when I said, there's some people in tonight. I'm not sure if you heard of them. Anyway, even the ones that didn't, they went and they worked out. They got very excited. It was like, believe it or not, it was like having royalty in with Sam Newman and Don Scott.
No,
I'm telling you. And they loved it. Like, they got so much so
Johnny
that...
Johnny loved it too. He had an audience to play to.
They were saying... Some of them wanted to come and meet you and then they got too scared because they were too scared to come and say hello.
I was being social, Don. I was actually being a bit of public relations. You sat on your ass drinking tea over there. You never spoke to anyone.
Well, I wasn't.
And when the photo
came,
we had a communal photo of everyone. Yeah. And you sat there, and I said, "Don, please get up and be part of the photo." He said, "No, you go ahead." And we had to drag you up to. And then Shane said, "So here, talk about putting someone on the spot." Shane said, "And Sam's got a boat. Why don't you all come out in the boat?" And I said, "Can we come out in the boat?" And I said, "Yes, that'd be fantastic." Oh, which it would be, Shane, if you can get all those boys and girls.
It's organised, isn't it? The boat cruise is happening.
Everyone's like, when are we going? When's it all happening? I said, well, I'm not sure Sam's going to remember that he mentioned that. But
what do you mean? I'd be delighted to do that.
Here and now, it's locked in. It's happening, a Christmas cruise.
There you go, Christmas cruise. And yeah, I think it'll be a great day because I think everyone will really warm to Sam.
Now, did you ask Ruben?
Are you coming, Don?
No.
Why not?
No, I don't want to go on his boat.
Oh, you're so grumpy, Don. You're always no to everything.
Meet some new people, hang out with me.
Alex Hine, who played Reuben.
Yes.
How did he go? I'm talking to the bloody microphone. How did he go in his exams, his financial exam? Did you ask him?
Well, during COVID, he'd performed all around the world.
Alex, we should set the scene. Alex is played Reuben.
Yeah.
And he's performed overseas. He's in Germany, England, wherever.
Yep.
And he's embarking on another career.
He performed in Germany where he actually had to do it in German, you know, so he's unbelievably talented.
Ich liebe dich, mein Liebling.
That's Hitler.
What does that mean?
That's Hitler.
That means that's your impersonation of Hitler.
Didn't you go with a footy show to Germany? Where did you go?
Impersonation of Hitler. Ich liebe dich, mein Liebling means I love you, my darling.
There you go.
Well, he was saying to Fraulein, what was her name?
Anyway, keep going, Shane.
No, didn't you go to Germany with the World Cup?
We did, 2006.
That's when Billy Brownless went nude through that park.
That's correct.
That's Shane. Some of the great footage.
It is some of the great footage with Gary Lyon and Shane. Do you have? Don't worry, I've got some other questions coming up. Do you have? Is this a precursor for bigger things? Would you like to expand on your thespian career?
No, it was just something that made me excited and nervous because it was a challenge. And then
do you get a share of the gate?
No, absolutely.
Well, how much
not.
Are you getting paid to do
well,
this?
Well, I can assure you that I'm not doing it for money.
I know you're not.
So
are you on union rates or do they I'm say like everyone look, else, we'll give you a
certain probably get a little
amount?
Wage, but
what did you say then, Shane?
I said I'm like everyone else in the show, you know, you get a little wage, but it's a great thing to be a part of. So it's definitely not for the money, I can assure you.
I'm not asking you necessarily what it is, but
I don't do anything for the money anymore, I can guarantee you.
Did they say to you, the producers say, right, Shane, would you be interested in doing this? Here's what we'll pay you. Or are you just get union rates or the required amount? They give you a contract and you say, I'll do it for that, and that's what you did. Is that right?
That's it, yeah. I wouldn't know what anyone gets paid or how it all works. What do I get paid? Not a great deal.
How much a show?
All I can say is that I definitely am not doing it to get a wage. I'm doing it because it was a great opportunity to be part of something unique and different and special and challenging and something that I've loved. I've loved it so much and I've loved because it's as much as they probably don't want me to say, but the is very much like a footy club.
It is very much like a footy club.
With everyone having roles behind the scenes, in front, on stage. The music's quite amazing. Underneath, you know, I'd love them to lift the band up so everyone can see the band. It really does.
It's called an orchestra, Shane.
It's a well-oiled machine, and I've loved that. And I would have no hesitation in doing something else down the track if that was the right role and whether or not they'd welcome you with open arms.
So Phoebe asks a very good question.
Yep.
Is there any analogy you can take from AFL training and team-oriented sport to a team-oriented thing in the theatre? And did you learn anything or could they learn something from your experience of playing in a team?
Absolutely. You could learn a great deal.
What?
And I saw Andrew Russell, who's in charge of the fitness and at Carlton, and I said to him, you should bring some of the guys down, especially when we were rehearsing, the way that everyone just gets into the zone. Like even before shows, you've got the girls and the guys are going off to do ice baths and steam, like and they sleep with these...
ice packs?
No, stuff for their voices. They're always making... Like they're just absolute professionals because that's their instrument. And that has blown me away. But then not only that's behind the scenes, the people with the costumes every day, they're you know, fixing and redoing lots of costumes, and just the way that everything functions. There's kids in the show, so just the way that everyone's managed, it's top of the tree, you know. And even back to our footy show days, sometimes we just sort of, we had great support people, but you know, it's probably another 50 levels above all that from an organisation point of view.
And you've got the different levels of coaches, different divisions that have their own coaches.
You get feedback every show, which is not great.
Tell us about that.
So you definitely get, you know, well, they call it notes. And I don't like notes because that always means you got to think about things. But it's always challenging you, and they're always trying to get everyone to be at their very best and to think about things, and it's whether or not you're blocking.
How's it delivered, their instruction?
What do you mean?
Well, you alluded before. He just said, come into the room, and he just hit you and said, you're not singing as well.
In a very supportive way.
Just straight to the point.
It's always been in a calm and well-organised manner, and normally with a smile. But I suppose after a while, if you kept doing the same thing which and weren't sort of doing it or changing it the way they wanted, I'm sure a stronger conversation would have been had. It's just like after the first 2 weeks when they said, you see, he's gone backwards. It was just delivered, you know, pretty much like an Alistair Clarkson would deliver it. It's, hey, we're going back. What's the reasoning? And I'm like, okay. Yeah, but there was a reason. So, it's done in a really good way. And everyone's so professional. They can change like a click of the fingers, whereas I can't. I need to rehearse on things, whereas everyone else is quite amazing that they can just
switch on and
get
off
into another character and go off and do all that.
So did you have to – now, Shane, please, let me just ask you this. Did you have to rein in your emotions from you suffered a family tragedy probably in the lead up to this? Did your family come to the opening? Did they support you? Did your – mother's still with us, isn't she?
My mum didn't
just
come
tell
to
me
show.
About how all that unfolded, because you must have had to deal with some trauma.
My kids came, and Olivia, which was a surprise, but it was only a surprise because I meant to come in a few weeks' time, and I just thought, just leave it at that. Let's not, you know, when kids are around, it's always quite stressful. So it's like, just let me get into rhythm, and then you can come and. And at least by then I can show you all around and we can have a better experience. Whereas my mum didn't come to the opening, but she came the night before, but she never told me because she didn't want to stress me out.
Yeah, it'd be good.
So, and then she texted me after the show and said, the show, was really good, well done.
Yep.
And I'm like, why did you not tell me you were here? So I've had a few people that have come to the show and haven't told me, just because I think they're just trying to look after me. And then, very traumatic. But it's been great for me because it's helped, I reckon, and given me a real focus, which otherwise I probably wouldn't have done a great deal at this time. I would have just sort of had the time off. So it's been a really good focus, and having, you know, a really supportive group has made it, and a caring group has been really good. I still have, I have moments where I just, I'd imagine that's going to be like that for a long time, where you do, your head goes off and you sort of ask the questions why, and, you know, you get emotional, you get sad with things, and then you sort of try and slap yourself in the face and you got to get on with things and you got to get going, and you would know more than anyone. So, yes, but it's been, I'm so glad that I've thrown myself into it. We've got a very good group, I think, because a lot of these people, it's their first time as well. So I think it creates a very different vibe, and the stars of the show are really sort of in the mix as well, because sometimes in everything you do, you know, sometimes the stars of the show turn up and put on a performance and then move along, whereas everyone here is a real connected team. So it's a special thing to be a part of, which is good.
Now listen, you just mentioned about the cast. What I thought of on the night, there's got to be backup people. How many is there another cast as such? you know, if somebody falls down sick.
Yeah,
or last
of course.
Moment,
like so COVID's going people, around at the moment. Injuries happen all the time. Voices go. So there's about six people behind the scenes who can come in and fill all the different roles.
Six for all of those different.
So, yeah, a lot of them train between six to eight different roles, and they can be on with a phone call. They're always there. They're always either rehearsing, watching the show, or sometimes they're just thrown into the mix depending on what's happening. Because, and they're called the swing people, and they not swingers, Don. I know you got excited when you thought I was going to mention that, but swing people. So they practically keep the musicals going all around the world, really, because of their roles. They're so flexible.
Are they highly paid? Because that'd be a responsible job, wouldn't it?
Yeah, I don't know exactly what everyone gets paid, but they've considered vital to the industry. So you'd imagine they get looked after.
Pharaoh? That's you, the person.
Yes, no, there's a couple of stand-ins ready to go. Yeah. And that's like that.
Wishing you will, I suppose.
No, they've been the opposite. They've been super supportive. But that's just the way it all works. They know, they have other roles in the show already. But
are they part of the stand-in?
So some of the you know, for Paulini and Ewan, who are the stars of the show, there's not just one ready to cover. There's also a backup cover as well. So there's a backup. So there might be three or four ready to jump into those main roles, but there's an order to it all. So you sort of go in with the mindset that that's what happens. So they're highly talented people, and quite amazing to think about that, because, you know, like, to play a main role like that, you'd actually want a lot of rehearsing, and but they're playing other roles.
Has Mr. Clarkson, your former coach, been in? Well, I ask you this for two reasons. The first is, has he been in?
Well, not that I know of. He's very aware of what's going on. So much so that when he was, after he was announced as the North Melbourne coach and did the press conference, he was driving back with his manager, James Henderson. And he said, I ran into James Henderson probably an hour after he'd dropped Clarko home. And he said, you wouldn't believe it. Clarko was speaking about you the whole way back after the media conference. And he did not stop singing a song about cows and corn, which is obviously the song that I sing about. What on earth is this all about? And Clarko says it's one of his favourite songs. So he's definitely going to come along. He's told me that he's coming along at some stage.
So he's told you. So you've been in communication with him about the disgraceful saga that went on at that club before.
Oh, gee, don't get me started.
No, mate, honestly. Did you speak to him and reach out to him?
Of course, yeah. I'm a big believer in Alistair Clarkson, in, you know, the way that he's coached everyone and like the amount of, like, the thing, it's not just the coaching, it's the stuff away from football. Like every week he would go down to the hospital down the road. I can't think of the hospital.
Monash.
I've been there so many times. But he would go down there every week. He would take players with him on the way home after training. He was always giving back. When the bushfires happened, he'd take players. The amount of stuff he would do to connect himself with the community and go over and above, and then the stuff that we actually didn't know about, on top of that, trying to guide young footballers in the right direction, not only to be good at football, but it's like you had to have some kind of education behind you, whether it be you go to university or a TAFE, or you had to be developing yourself to be better people. So that when you did finish footy, it's been really, really
disgracefully maligned by a media.
But no, like Chris Fagan as well, and then Jason Burt. Jason Burt kept that club together with the welfare work that he was doing. So I'm sure more.
Well, the senior players interviewed, and I'll give you a couple of senior Indigenous players, Lance Franklin, Chance Bateman for two.
You would think so, wouldn't you? You'd think that they would interview everyone, like from an Indigenous and a First Nations point of view. Well, I know that Lance Franklin was never interviewed, and I know for a fact Lance Franklin would be unbelievably complimentary of the footy club. So, and Alistair Clarkson. I don't know what type of investigation that is, you know. Who's the most prominent Indigenous player to ever play footballer to ever played at Hawthorn. It's Lance Franklin, Lance Buddy Franklin, and yet no one's spoken to Lance Buddy Franklin. I speak to him, and I know he's got nothing but great love for the Hawthorn Football Club and great love for the coaches that have been questioned.
So, Shane, how long is the season that you're doing? And are you touring the country?
No, it's going to Sydney, and I'm not going to Sydney. I'm going to get to Melbourne. So
Why wouldn't you go to Sydney?
Because I was just happy to, you know, do Melbourne, and I thought a couple of months is probably, you know, for someone who's never sort of been in that space, that's probably a lot. Although I haven't ruled out being a part of it moving forward. So if they do go to Adelaide and Perth. Brisbane or Singapore.
You know, without pissing in your pocket, and I'll tell you this off air, I think you're very good. Why would you continue doing
it? Because if it continues for a year, that's a long time, and that's going to take me away from, you know, seeing my kids and being involved heavily, which is, you know, I'm at that stage in my life where I want to be.
You could demand, seeing as you're a star, and they come on the road with you. You could have your own caravan and your own
that would be
a
disaster.
Talk about absolute disaster.
But I said, listen, if you go to Singapore, I'm up for that. I'd love to go to a different country and experience, you know, just trying to bring a bit of joy to people from a different country.
Speaking of a caravan or an on-the-road experience, I hear that... prior to you starting in the show, Don was on the road taking his horses on a holiday and did at some point meet up with you on his horse excursion and hosted you for dinner in his caravan.
Well, do you know what happened? I was going for a walk listening to your podcast, and I'm your biggest fan of the podcast, and I push so many people into it, and once they get onto it, they reply and go, oh my goodness, why haven't I been onto this a long time ago, especially during COVID. But I was listening and Don was ringing in from Bourke or somewhere, and I'm thinking, where's he going? He's actually coming up near me somewhere. Where's he going? And then he said, oh, I'm going to hit maybe to the Gatton show. So I thought, oh, I'll Google, where's Gatton? Oh, it's only a few hours away. All right, I'll just go there. I've never been there before in my life anyway, so I'll just go for a cruise and have a look around. And if he's there, he's there. If he's not, oh, well, at least I've ticked off driving in that direction. And sure enough, I got there and this horse floats everywhere and there's a massive setup, and I'm thinking, oh, is he here? And then I saw it was like just a knight in shining armour. This man comes prancing along on a horse, and he had no idea it was me, so I sort of turned away. I didn't let him see me. And then I just went and watched him warm up his horse, which took forever. And then he was going over these little jumps, and then he had a go, and I was filming the whole time, bits and pieces, thinking, oh, how good is this? And he sat so upright.
Like a bottle up his
ass. Yeah, no, he did. Like... so upright, and he had the sort of Tom Cruise aviators on. Tripper. Looked amazing. Anyway, so he'd finished, and then he's going back towards the store. So I just walked and followed behind. He had no idea it was me. Yeah. And he's put the horse back in, and all I could hear is, ah, fuck this, ah, fuck that, ah, fuck. And he's getting off the horse. Ah, you know, I'm like, geez, what, everything okay? And I've walked up to the stable. I said, g'day, Don. He goes, what the fuck are you doing here? I'm saying, so I've come to say hi and just do a welfare check to make sure you're okay. Oh, and then straight away, here, feed this other horse. Okay. So all of a sudden I was feeding the horses. I'm like, what's going on? Then he got another horse out to go and compete with, and he did a great job. And then
Cordon Bleu chef.
Oh, disaster.
Experience. I felt sorry for you, you little prick, because Olivia was over in Bali. You hadn't eaten. You were down. You've stacked on the weight since she's been back. You were skinny and under. I thought, shit, I've got to feed him now.
You idiot. No, so this is true. So I'm thinking, I want to go home before dark.
Because I couldn't piss you
it's
off.
It's windy roads. I don't really know. There's hills. I'm thinking, don't really want to be driving for hours along these roads. And Don's like, you're not going, I'm going to make you dinner. So he cleaned up his little setup, which was just like untidy. Someone had trashed it. Yeah. It was like schoolies, it happened in his room. There's dirty jocks like hanging up in the lights and all sorts. I'm thinking, oh, my goodness. So anyway, he cleans it up a bit and he goes, I'm going to cook you something. And I said, no, 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 it's all right. I'll just grab something from one of the roadhouses on the way. No, 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 I'm going to cook you something. So he cooks his carrots and his vegetables. And he grabs this is serious, Sam. He goes to the fridge. He goes, oh, I'm glad you're here. Which meat do you want? And he holds up these different – and they both look disgusting. And I'm like – I said, I don't care, whichever one. I said, yeah, I'll have that one, and it looked grey.
Roadkill.
Yeah.
That's what it'd be. He'd run over a koala or something.
No, but then he goes, oh, good, good, no worries. And as he put down the plate, he said, I'm glad you're here because I was going to have to throw it out tomorrow.
He wasn't joking,
and I'm thinking, oh, no. But anyway, do you know what happened? He didn't even cook the meat. Because he cooked it a couple of days earlier. So he just slaps it on the plate and then hands it to me.
No, he's a tripper.
And I'm thinking, okay. So I ate it and I thought I'll be polite and I'll eat it. And...
Oh, you little prick.
No, it was... it tasted okay. But I swear the next 2 days I had the worst case of diarrhoea, which is true.
Exactly. Right. I went out of my way to look after you. I gave you dessert
tried to
as well.
Yeah, yeah. Shame.
He said, don't go.
Senile,
don't
stupid
go.
Man, Don. Seriously. You've nearly killed the boy. He was about to make his stage presence. You've nearly
I
fucking
had
killed
diarrhea
him.
For
what
the next
about
2 days.
Dessert? Tin fruit?
Yeah, no, he said, don't go. I'm going to give you dessert. And I said, no, 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 it's all right. I've got to get going. And he goes, no, 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 no. Just help me with the you know, move a few things first. So I've got the wheelbarrow out. And then he come back and he said, no, I'll give you dessert. So he opened up a can, tin
can
of
peaches.
Peaches, yeah. Pops it in. And then he said, oh, I don't really have anything for... And then he starts sprinkling sausage on top. And I said, what is that? And he said, oh, sausage. You know, it's good for you and it tastes okay.
Protein.
Oh, It was the most disgusting meal I've ever had in my life. I was trying to be polite and I was sick for 2 days.
I went down to see him at Werribee and I drove in there and as you say, he's got the pantechnicon and all he's got washing hanging out and the horses are sitting there, shit scared on the horses. Don's saying, back out of here. And I walk over and the horses saw someone they recognised as a human being that might have some compassion. Don, do I tell a lie? They gravitated to me. I'm standing behind the fence. They thought, shit, here's someone who might be nice to me. They walked over. I do not really au fait with horses. They nuzzled me. I patted their fucking heads. And when I drove away, they actually wandered down as far as they could, looking at me forlornly, hoping, don't go, come back. Oh, Jesus, I'll tell you what, it was an experience.
Don't let him feed you, for God's sake, whatever you do. Like, seriously, when you put the meat on the plate and go, I was going to have to throw that out tomorrow. That's all good right. That you're here.
Now,
disgusting.
We're about to head off now to do a matinee. And I want to say, Shane, that I'm not into stage productions. And I have no... If you can tell me what that show is about, who wrote it, what is it about? It's just a mishmash of songs. But it was fantastic. I'm not knocking it. But if you can tell me what that show is about, I've got no fucking idea. But you were fantastic in it. And the cast and the crew and the production and the orchestra and everything was great. And we do admire you, as the doc from Sydney said. We do admire you for having a crack at doing it. It's easy to get into the comfort zone and do nothing. You had a lot of courage to do it, so we appreciate and admire that, Don, don't we?
My word, and finally, you just said you got to do a matinee. How many shows do you do a day?
I don't know. We do, I think it's about eight. Sometimes nine a week. But today is two. So we'll do lunchtime show and then I think a 6:30 show, yeah. So, but then tomorrow only one. So, yeah, it just depends. But, yeah, you bang it out. But, no, I'm seriously a massive fan of your podcast. And I know like, I'm being serious now.
Intellect. No,
exactly. But we've had...
Hang on, let him finish.
We've had... COVID and everyone's, you know, it's been a real interesting journey for a lot of different people, and you may not realise that because you're in your own little bubbles, but your podcast is so important for everyone, you know, to go for their walks, take their heads to a different space. So don't stop doing it. And lastly, just give me the date and I'll bring everyone from the cast onto your boat and we'll have a great day out. Do we have to bring food and alcohol?
Nothing. You just bring. I'm happy to do that. I'd love to.
As long as Don's not doing the catering, we're in.
Final thing. This was one of the questions I was going to ask the doc before he got the shits and hang up. I was going to say, there was some podcast awards. Weren't there some podcast awards? And someone said, why didn't we enter? And I said, well, we didn't know that.
Well, why aren't you across this?
Yeah, it should.
It's your podcast.
Well, why didn't the doc enter it? Because he would have...
Well, it might be like the Logies. You could rig it.
Oh.
You could.
Well, they're all the stations getting behind their shows. That's probably more like it.
The doc is fantastic, and so is Shane Crawford. And the main thing to say, Shane, is that tickets are available for Joseph and the amazing Technicolor Dreamcoat, and people who just want to get out, have a night at the theatre, have a great night of fun and just see some fantastic performances. Go and get tickets and get along and support you and the entire company.
No, thank you. And can I just say, why would you do it to yourself, Fiona? Why would you come and be around these two every week?
She's desperate.
Not every week, Shane. I pop in and I pop out and I choose my moments. Very and this is a lovely moment.
Because you ain't treating me right. Come back again.